The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you. Take your Bible, go back to the book of Ezekiel, if you will, and look at verse 37. And I want us to see a truth here that can help us when it comes to dry bones. Has there ever been a time in your life when all of a sudden things are going great? I mean, just things are going absolutely above that which is the common. Then you go through a dry time in your life. I talk to counselors. I talk to soul winners. I talk to preachers. I talk to married people. I talk to people that are entrepreneurs. And I find out that it's true in every person's life where you will have times of dryness in your life. So what do you do when there's times of dryness in your life? Look at Ezekiel again, chapter 37. We're going to abide in that chapter for a little bit. In verse 3, our text verse, where the Bible says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Let me give you the story of Ezekiel chapter 37. In verse 1, here's what you see. Of course, God is using Ezekiel in a very, very unusual fashion. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1, he says, "And he sat down in the midst of the valley, which was full of dry bones." So have you ever felt like that not only was your life now becoming nominal or below, common or below, and everybody else's life around you was common or below? Have you ever got submerged or became submerged in something where you just feel like there is less hope, less excitement? When you'll go through things like that, God has some answers for you and for me. In verse 2, the Bible says in the latter portion, says, "There were very many in the open valley, and though they were very dry." And so here he is in the midst of dry bones, but not just dry bones. If you'll notice that there is an emphasis on these bones, he said not only is just dry bones, these were very dry. The Bible says in verse 3, "And he said unto me, Son of man," says, "can these bones live? And I answered, the Lord God, thou knowest." Now watch what he says in verse 4. The Bible says, "He said unto me, prophesy unto," it says, "these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now by the way, when you go through dryness in your life, you need somebody else, are you ready, that is stronger than you to point you in a direction that would help you to overcome the dryness in your life. And nobody can do that more powerful and more rightfully so than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You have a Bible, and that Bible will point you to what to do when there's dryness times in your life. Verse 5, the Bible says, the Lord God, "unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." There's something about God breathing. There's something about God, the one that's saying that everything's going to be all right. There's something about noticing what God says as to how you can get victory in your life that makes all the difference in the world. The Bible says that I lay the sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and the Bible says, and I prophesied, it says, there was a noise. So he says, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Look at the latter portion of verse 8, where the Bible says, up, it says, upon them. The skin covered them above. Now watch what it says, and there was no breath in them. So things are starting to take place, but notice they're still not alive yet. Now, by the way, don't give up when things start to take place in your life, but you don't see a completeness yet. Don't give up on God when God is starting to work in your life and you see things starting to come together, but you're not really understanding how they're coming together. You don't see how God is going to take one bone and put another bone together, but you hear the noise. You see the shaking of it. You see things are starting to come together, but then there's that question mark. Well, will it ever come together completely? I mean, will it ever be complete? Could these dry bones be able ever to be able to be used of God again? Could these dry bones ever be able to be complete? Could it be that God would ever breathe on them again? Could it be that God would ever give life to that which is again? Now notice in your Bible what the Bible says here in verse 9. The Bible says, and he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind. It says, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. It says, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Now by the way, listen to me. Here's what God does. God brings people in your life, things in your life that will help you to understand, yes, you can breathe. Yes, it will be okay. That when it comes down to saving a marriage, saving a business, saving a relationship, saving, if you would please, maybe even yourself, as you feel as though that there is no hope and you look at your life and you say, but my bones are dry and it seems like everything around me is very dry and it doesn't seem like that anything is going to take place. Don't give up on God until God completes his course of action in your life. You know, so many times in our lives, because especially in our Western civilization or those that live in large cities around the world, if we're not very careful, here's what we do. We give up on God way too quick because God is not operating within the guidelines of our configuration. Many times, here's what we'll do. We'll say, now, God, I tell you what, I want you to answer prayer. But in our heart, we've already said, God, if you don't answer prayer at this time, up until this date, at this appropriate time, then God, I'm just going to give up on you. May I say, if God never gives up on you, then you should never give up on God. God is the one that can make things come together, and God is the one that can straighten things out, and God is the one that can take a dry bone, and yea, dry bones that are surrounding you in your life, and give you hope, and give you definition, and give you completeness, and help you to be able to get certain victories in your life. But you will never get victories on your life if you quit on God before God, listen to me, is ready to quit on you. And the good news is God is never ready to quit on you. Amen. Understand some things here as we continue in the scriptures. The Bible says, so I prophesied. It says, and as he commanded me, and the breath came into them. Notice it. Now that didn't come until later. First he's walking out into the field. He finds himself sitting down. As he finds himself sitting down, he says, boy, these are dry bones. As he looks around, taking a surveillance of the field, he says, these are very dry bones. Very dry bones. I've never seen anything so dry in all my life. These are not just dry, these are very dry. And I'm surrounded, and by the way, he's not on the mountaintop, he's in the valley. And where you see most of the bones that's in your life is when you allow yourself to sit down in the valley. God says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God never told you to sit down in the valley. God never told you to suck your thumb. God never told you to become self-miserable. God never told you to give up on life. And I'm telling you that you've got a God. If you don't give up on him, he is not going to give up on you. And you have to understand that he's the only one that can be able to make those dry things in your life be able to come alive, those dry things in your life that is surrounding you, to be able to breathe into them and give life into them so that he could take and work not only in them but through them for your benefit. Here's what we understand this morning. The Bible talks about how they lived and how they stood on their feet. Listen to it now. And it says, exceeding great army. Now, wait a minute. They went from dry bones, very dry bones, sitting down miserably in the midst of the valley, to God saying, okay, I'm going to bring the bones together. And by the way, it's always in order. We live in such a fast, crazed society that if we're not careful, we become so impatient. By the way, you show me somebody that's impatient with God, and I'll show you somebody that's impatient with others. They normally go hand in hand. You show me somebody that is short-fused with God, and I'll show you somebody normally that is short-fused with other people around them. They normally go hand in hand. You show me somebody that is walking in the Spirit of God, Galatians chapter 5, and one of the attributes, one of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering and patience and meekness, and you know, these, and I'll show you somebody that is probably that way with all humanity as well. And so here we see that here's that which is Ezekiel. He sits down in the midst of that which is a valley. He's not walking through it. He's not observed. He is sitting down in the midst of the valley. As he sits down in the midst of the valley, he notices that it's a valley of dry bones. The more he notices it, they're very dry bones. Then all of a sudden, he hears a noise. Things begin to shake. God is beginning to work. Now, God might not be beginning to work according to his timing. Okay, all right, watch this. You ready? How many of you have ever prayed a prayer and you expected God to answer it? Stay with me now. You expected God to answer it immediately. And God did not. And you were just a little bit disappointed. Would you raise your hand? Wow. All of us are there. Isn't that amazing? You mean to tell me that God is not going to operate on my timetable? You mean to tell me that God has a timetable that he wants me to operate on instead of me getting God to operate on my timetable? You mean to tell me that God might be trying to help me to understand things to get more on his page rather than me trying to get God on my page? See, let's notice some things in the scriptures. Let me give you some times, if you would please, of dry bones. Statement number one, there's the discouraging heart. Sometimes a discouraging heart can be dry bones. My Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. So what happens when somebody has a high hope for something and then all of a sudden they get let down when that high hope all of a sudden disappears? If you're not careful, it becomes a dryness in your life. Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 51 and verse 8. The Bible says, make me to hear joy and gladness. It says that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. So God says, what do you do when all of a sudden there's that brokenheartedness or that discouraged heart? He said, here's the antidote for that. And that's what I want to give you this morning is several antidotes when you have dryness in your life. So what do you do all of a sudden when there is a discouragement in your life? Here's what God says. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear them. God, there's got to be something. I've got to have something to cling on to. God, give me some type of life preserver. Give me some type of life jacket. And God, since I am in the middle of my field and I'm sitting down and I'm looking at dry bones and I'm surrounded by very dry bones, you've got to help me extra. And so here's what is prayed. He says, God, make me to hear. Make me to hear. Make me to wake up and make me to hear the joy and make me to hear that which is gladness. He says that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Okay? And so if we're not careful, here's what we do. We get bitter towards God when there's a broken bone. And we say, God, wait a minute now. This is not turning out quite the way I wanted it to turn out. And so, God, I'm just putting you on notice that because of that broken bone, I'm not going to be happy and I'm not going to rejoice. But here's what God says. God says when there's broken bones in your life, you're supposed to be rejoicing. You're supposed to find joy. You're supposed to find gladness. Because, by the way, if you'll find that when you're broken, you won't have any problem finding that when you're not broken. See, here's what the Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. listen to it, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So here's a person that says, I'm in deep depression. I'm having a meltdown. I'm having discouragement. I'm in despair, and I simply just can't seem to grip it. Things are swarming around me. The buzzards of life are about to attack me on my little desert island. And they feel like everything is coming in. The clouds have never been so dark. The day has never been so gloomy. The gathering of the thunder clouds are about me, and we're about to go into a horrific storm. I don't feel like I have an exit. I feel empty, joyless, hopeless, lifeless. I don't have a desire to pray, and I don't have a desire to read my Bible. I've lost my desire to go soul winning and see somebody get saved so they can go to heaven one day. I don't see the need of putting God first in my financial world, so forget this tithing and forget this giving an offering and this stuff about going to church and being faithful and this stuff. I just feel like that I am sitting down in the middle of the field and I have nothing but dry bones around me, and when I begin to observe them in a more radical way, I see that they are very dry. And here's what God says. God says that I will help you. I will make you to have joy, make you to have gladness. But you have to ask that. We have not because we ask not. Oh, okay, come on, come on. Pull your chair up here, Brother Jonathan. Sit right there on the edge. Lay your Bible down. Just look dead. Look dead. When I come up to deadness, it doesn't excite me. When I come up to something that's dry, oh, come on, I'm a preacher. Now, I tell you what, I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for preaching. But can I tell you, when I come up to deadness, it does not encourage me. All of a sudden, I'm up there and I'm preaching. And I'm saying, hey, the Bible says this is what we ought to do. We ought to rise up like a mighty army and serve God. Be faithful to the things of God. Step out. Do what God wants you to do. And I look at dryness. Doesn't encourage my heart. I look at deadness, and then I get close to it and I really examine it. And I say, whoa, this guy does not have problems with dryness. He is really dry. Doesn't help. But then on the other side, bring your chair, set it up here. Here we go. On the other side, I got excitability. I'm helping you, aren't I?
Wrong person.
I got excitability. Man, all of a sudden, I'm preaching on prayer. Okay, we'll switch it. Okay, dryness. I'm going to help you. Excitability. Okay, here we go. And so I'm preaching on prayer. See, I'm telling you, God can take any dryness and bring it alive. But if you're not careful, God can allow life to become dryness immediately. So watch this. And so here I am, I'm preaching on prayer, and I'm giving it everything I've got. And hey, I'm saying be faithful to church. And one is dead, but one is very much alive. And boy, I'm preaching on prayer, and one is very much alive. Very much alive, very much alive. And boy, I'm telling you this. I'm saying that it depends on where your focus is. Now, you don't have to change your personality, but at least look like you're alive. You don't have to take and decide that you're going to be floating on the clouds and swinging on the chandeliers and running up and down and shouting amen. But I'm telling you that you have a living Bible and you've got a living God, and you don't have to be discouraged, and you don't have to walk around, and God can take a discouraged heart, and God can take and breathe life into those bones and bring you out of your despair. You don't have to sit there and die. Now, I'm saying thank you. Go back to your deadness. You can go back here. Step number one, a discouraged heart. Step number two, a distraught marriage. A distraught marriage. Talk about why dryness comes. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.
She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So what is happening is God is bringing life into Adam by way of another. I remember when Mrs. Wells, we got married, by the way, in a gymnasium. We had about 300 plus or so that attended our wedding. I remember Mrs. Wells walking down the aisle. We had church back then because we were building an auditorium at the church that we attended, and so we had to meet in the gymnasium. And I remember that Mrs. Wells walked down the aisle of a gymnasium floor. Boy, I was standing there at the front. Woo! This is the day that I had longed for. I mean, she's in the back, you know, and you know how it is. Those of you that have been married, you remember that day? Then your bride, is standing in the back. And boy, you know, the racing of the heart, you don't need caffeine. It just becomes natural. And man, she's standing back there, beautiful as could be, and I see her. And the heart begins to go boom, 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 boom. She gets a little bit closer. Boom, 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 boom. She's right here. Boom, 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 boom. You know, you remember those days. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. But if you're not careful, you can have a distraught marriage. We tell our kids that begin to court, we say start off with friendship because that's what you're going to end up with. That is what you're going to end up with. And if you don't marry somebody you like, first you attract and then you attack. So you've got to have things in common. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. It says in Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. So when you make your husband feel ashamed of his leadership, you make your husband feel ashamed of his decision making. You make your husband feel ashamed in front of the children in a degrading fashion. God says what takes place is that is rottenness to his bones. Now, wait a minute, what do I do in order to be able to overcome that? Well, we understand this. We understand that marriages today, there's a lot of fighting, a lot of bickering, a lot of enduring, a lot of lying, a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of just coexisting, almost like an office manager and a secretary only under the same roof. It's a lot of strife, a lot of bitterness. You know, a lot of times, it's filled with all about me and not about them. It's something that is a misgiven, and of course you begin to doubt the mate that God has given to you. But wait a minute, the Bible talks about when you come together, you become one flesh. And yet the Bible says that no man yet hated his own flesh. All right? And so what do? Realize that in a distraught marriage that God is still the one that can breathe into those bones. The Bible talked about how God breathed in to that which was Adam, and it was the breath of life whereby he became alive. Now, wait a minute. The same thing is true about your marriage. If the marriage is in trouble, the first person you ought to go to is God. The first person you ought to turn to is God. The first person that you ought to be able to say, God, I've got a problem. God, I need help. Because after all, it just seems like that the marriage is something that is rottening inside of me. And it ought not to rotten inside of you. And by the way, are you listening to me? When God talks about marriage, I don't care what society says. It is not Adam and Steve. It is Adam and Eve. It is one man and one woman. Hey, that's God's plan. Now, because of that, listen, you understand that when there is a distraught marriage, when the marriage is not going right, you can turn to the one that invented marriage. Turn to the one that created that holy institution and say, God, I need your help. And God can help. Stimulus one, when is it that there's the drying of the bones? when there's a discouraged heart, when there's a distraught marriage, you ready? When there's a distant relationship, a distant relationship. When a relationship begins to distant itself, listen to it. Psalm 42 and verse 10, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says it's with the sword in the bones, as with the sword in the bones. It says, mine enemy reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? What happens is there's a distant relationship. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says that a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. It says they're, listen to what it says, their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So it talks about a relationship, tension between you and your parents, tension between you and your children, tension between you and your brother, or you and your sister, or you and your friend, or you and your neighbor, or you and a coworker, or you and your boss, or an employee, or tension between you and another church member. That tension can build. So what do? I decide that what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that one that can help me to take down the bars. Now, I don't know how it is in your marriage. Some people, when they get mad at each other, they attack. Some people, when they get mad at each other, they detach and they don't talk. You know, she turns her head, he says something, and she is there, but she is not there. She is staring out the window. Hello? By the way, men do that too. I've heard of men that get mad at their wives and they go lock themselves in the bathroom. If I was going to lock myself anywhere, it would be the kitchen, not the bathroom. Because in the kitchen, you can have a continual feast. Now, wait a minute. But you know, people get, they get detached, if you would please. They begin to be distanced. Can I tell you that the greatest thing you could ever do in your married life or in your relationship building life with anybody is to make sure your communication has always a good flow? Always a good flow. If you can't talk to your husband, who can you talk to? If you can't talk to your wife, who can you talk to? If you can't talk to your parents, who can you talk to? If you can't sit down and reason with your own children, and now things have become unreasonable, who can you talk to? If you can't talk to a Sunday school teacher or a pastor or somebody's going to try and help you with an initiating problem, then who in the world can you go to? Who can you talk to? Well, I tell you what, you can go to the Lord, and the Lord can give you wisdom as to how to talk with somebody. One thing I do in my office, whenever somebody comes in, very first thing we do, anybody that's been in my office, they know this is true. But when anybody comes to the office for counseling, very first thing we do is we bow in prayer. Very first thing. And I'll pray something like this. I'll say, dear God, we need wisdom in this meeting. And God, you know the situation that's at hand. And Lord, we sure do love you. We need you to work right now in our midst. Give us wisdom to make right decisions. Give us a wholesome outcome. And I'll pray. I'll finish it up. And then I'll say, okay, let's go ahead and talk. How can I help? What's on your heart? How can I give maybe some leadership or counsel or just be a friend? What can I do? But we always go to prayer first. You know why? Because God is the one that can help more than any single preacher can help. And God loves you more than anybody else does. Come on. He's the creator God. And so many times, here's what we do. We try to handle all of our problems all by ourselves. We say, well, I tell you what, I've got the solution. Well, let me ask you, how you doing with your solution now? How's that going for you? Well, you know, preacher, I just don't think that I'm making some good decisions. Might it be you ought to get God involved? Might it be you ought to take and solicit him for help? See, what happens is relationships, if we're not careful, will continue to grow apart. Then it comes down to a person being offended, and what happens, there's a hardness. You can always tell if you're around somebody that has been offended by you. How can you tell? Because you go up to shake their hand, they don't want to shake your hand. They don't want to smile at you. They'll avoid you. There's a hard exterior. You can always tell. By the way, you can always tell when you've offended your wife. Honey, why are you giving me puppy chow for supper? And she says, you know why, big boy. You're not only in the doghouse, you're eating like one. But you know why. You know what's going on. Come on. You can always tell. You know, some people have the evil eye. Have you ever done that? Hey, what, that was one of our child-rearing methods. If my children was doing something wrong, I'd give them the evil eye. They knew I'm in trouble. I might not live to see tomorrow. I didn't have to say anything. You ever hear parents that they're yelling always at their kids on when they get their attention? Wouldn't it be good if you could develop such a relationship with your kids that when you walk by, you don't have to yell at them, you just look at them. And then they fall down and say, oh, dear God, please help me. Daddy's going to kill me. Wouldn't it be good to have such a relationship? I'm saying this. I'm saying that relationship. All right, let me give you one more thing. There is a degenerated soul. Your soul is comprised of the mind, the will, and the emotion. Here it is. What the Bible says, Psalm 38, verse 3, I'm going to hasten to a close. The Bible says, there is no soundness in the flesh because of thine anger. It says, neither is there any rest in the bones because of my sin. You know, the Bible talks about how there's that degenerative spirit if you would embrace that, or that degenerative nature if you embrace that, that could destroy the whole man. You know, it could destroy you completely. It could. Now, by the way, once you're saved forever. He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. I'm talking about your physical body. Somebody can get so involved in those which are sinful things that it destroys them completely because of that sin. Psalm 31 and verse 10, the Bible says, and my life is spent with grief, and the years of sighing, and strength faileth me because my iniquity and my bones are consumed. Listen to it. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, the Bible says, a sound heart is in the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 27, the Bible says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Says, ye are like the whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead man bones and uncleanness. So the Bible says that which comes with inside of you can destroy you. By the way, Adam knew that. Listen to it. The Bible talks about in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But then Adam made some decisions later on that hurt and destroyed that relationship that he had with the holy God. Now, I'm saying you can start off right and then wind up wrong. But don't forget, the same God that breathed into you to give you that which is life in a relationship with him, in a relationship with others, is a God that says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So there is always hope. The Shunammite woman's son, the Bible says that Elisha came on to the house in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32. Behold, it says the child was dead and he laid upon the bed. And the Bible says he went in thereon and shut the door upon him twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and he laid on the child and he put his mouth, it says, upon his mouth, and his eyes opened, and his hands, it says, upon his hands. And he stretched forth, it says, upon the child, and the flesh was waxed warm, and he returned and he walked into the house to and fro, and he stretched himself upon him. And though the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. Now, wait a minute. All right, so God could bring that which is life into a child that has dry bones. What about a boy? What about a daughter? Here's what the Bible says. Listen to it. It says, while thou yet spakest, there came a ruler of the synagogue of a certain house and said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any farther? And as soon as Jesus heard these words, he spoke and he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he says, be not afraid, only believe. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, damsel, he says, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was 12 years of age. And they were astonished with a great astonishment in Mark chapter 5. Now listen to it. And so here's a boy and here's a girl. Perfect example. Nobody is left without. There's Lazarus, a man. The Bible says in John chapter 11, listen to it, and these things he said, and afterward he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go and I may awake him out of sleep. And when thus thou hast spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth, bound foot, it says, and great clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. And Jesus said on him, loose him and let him go. So God says, I can take the dry dead bones of a boy and give life, the dry dead bones of a girl and give life, the dry dead bones of that which is a man and give life. And it goes on and on and on, where God gives description after description, using a man, using a woman, using a child, using somebody else, and God doesn't leave anybody else out. Can these bones live? Yes, they can live. But they can only live if you go to God. I remember the story, and I'm done. Here it is. I remember, just as sure as I'm living today, I remember being very religious and going to a religious church. I remember being there. I remember, of course, all the things that I saw caused confusion, and I did not know what to do. And I lay on the bed on a July hot evening, and I cracked that window, and I looked up into the starry night, and I cried, and I said, dear God, there's got to be more to it than this. If you're real and there's more to it than this, would you please help me? And that very night, David Lee, the very next night, rather, David Lee at that carnival ground, July 24th, 1979, came up to me out of the blue, 16-year-old boy, and he said, I'd like to ask you a question. He was dressed sharper than everybody else in the carnival ground. He kind of stood out. He said, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know for sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? I said, you know, I'd really like to know that, but I'm not sure. In my own mind, I think I'm going to go. I've never smoked, I've never doped, I've never committed immorality, I've been pretty clean, I've never cursed my parents, I've never robbed a store, I've never killed anybody. So I think if anybody's going to go to heaven, yeah, I'm not sure I'm going to go, I don't know I'm going to go, but if anybody deserves the right and the chance to go, it's going to be me. And he said, what if I were to tell you you were wrong? What if I was to show you what the Bible said? And boy, he took me through that scripture, and I understood I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I bowed my heart, and I received Christ as Savior. And can I tell you, these dry bones came alive. Because now there was a relationship with Jesus Christ that was unstoppable. And when you receive Jesus Christ, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what is coming in your life. It doesn't matter what is going out of your life. It doesn't matter if you see yourself as dry bones or you see that bones around you are very dry. God is the one that can help in every single given situation. But he works especially with his children. Especially. I said this, I think. In one of the services, I might have said it in Sunday school, I'm not sure. But we went over to be with Brother and Mrs. Palmore. His sister went home to be with the Lord. So we drove over to Emory, Texas, about a 45-minute drive, and went over there for the viewing. And it was cold. But it was cold. Brother Nash, you get out of the car, short distance from the car to the door of the funeral home, and if you would have stopped, you would have became an ice cube. I mean, it was cold. And so we went in and we stayed, we fellowshiped, got to meet a lot of relatives, got to spend time with them and love them and be close to them. On the way home, my wife and I was to discussing and talking, we decided to take the long route home. Matter of fact, we tried to find the longest route home. I think we were successful. We went through every small town that you could find. We're driving through. My daughter likes this sweet, it's called Sweet Frog. Sweet Frog likes the Sweet Frog thing. You get ice cream or not ice cream, yogurt. I have a sugar problem, so I can't do sugar, but I can do certain types of yogurt. And I tell you what, yogurt is good. I don't care if it's on a cold night or not. It's good. So we pulled up. My wife, we were going through this very, very, very small town. And, you know, one of these towns that has maybe two red lights in it, and that's it. And you're going through, but it had a Sweet Frog. And my wife said, "Oh, there's a Sweet Frog." And my daughter, laying down in a reclining state, and the back seat shot up. All of a sudden, those dry bones came alive. And she said, "Can we stop? Can we stop?" And so I said, "Sure." So we turned around, went back, sacrificing, driving the other 100 miles from the one red light to the other red. No. We went back, took about 30 seconds, pulled in there. I asked my wife, I said, "You want one?" She's got her blanket. She's all curled up. You know, she's chattering. She's freezing. I said, "You want one?" She said, "No, I'll pass." So I took Rebecca and we went inside and we got one of those yogurts. She got one. I got one. It was a picture moment. So we took the picture. Got back in the vehicle and took off again. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. Here's what I could have did. My wife could have said, "There's that Sweet Frog," and I could have said, "Shh, I know my daughter likes that. Don't say that. I'm in a hurry to drive slow through these country towns." Can I tell you what? Sometimes you can help out in a dry bone situation. Come on. You know what I love? I promise you I'm not the greatest pastor in the world. But you know, I love people. God has put a specialness inside of my heart for people. And so I love it. Now, I was standing back there to the very last minute. Matter of fact, I told Daniel Juarez, I said, "Stand beside me. When I leave, you do what I do." And so I was standing back there in the very beginning. And man, kids are coming in. I'm saying, "Hey, great to see you. Man, I'm glad you're here. That is super. Wow. Hey, I'm glad you're here today. That is great. I am so glad you're here. Hey, you too. You too. Wow. Hey, thank you. We even welcome older people to our church. God bless you." Okay. But there's something about being around people that I love. Now, I won't apologize for that, because that's who I am. I like to be the guy that walks into a room where everybody's sad. I like that, because I want to see if I can be the guy that maybe brings half of a smile, maybe to bring a little bit of encouragement. God's put something inside of my head where, you know, some people, they look at life and they see life as half empty. You get around somebody like that? "Woe is me. The sky is falling. Mars and Earth are going to collide. It's going to be all over. Disaster is coming." I'd be the type of guy that would say, "Man, I can't wait. This is going to be so fun." I mean, that's the way God molded me. You know, somebody said, we're going to move her to the auditorium. It's going to be in the gym. And I said, "It's going to be so great. Man, our ushers can walk down the aisle and play basketball at the same time they're taking the offering." But I like being around to try to encourage. You know, people... If we would just understand, you do have a good God. Now, you can downplay it all you want to, and you can get poochy lip all you want to, and you can hang down with your bottom lip sagging out between your two big toes so much you're tripping every other step. You can do that if you want to. But I'm telling you, you've got a God that answers prayer. You've got a God that's on your side. You've got a God that will help you. And I really believe with all my heart that God wants to work in people's lives. But if you're not careful, you'll sit down in that valley of dry bones, and then you'll look around and say, oh, woe is me. They're just not dry. They're very dry. I might as well fold up and die. And I'm telling you, you don't have to fold up and you don't have to die. And God can help you. And God wants to help you. He is a living God. But you have to decide how you view him. Somebody said, beauties are in the eyes of the beholder. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? I look at, don't get mad at me. I look at some of the women that some men have married and I say, it's a truth. I look at some of the men that women have married and I say, it's a truth. Can I tell about what you said yesterday? It's a classic. Brother Davis, can I tell? About the baby thing. He's my soul winning partner yesterday, right? We're out soul winning. We're knocking doors. He said, Pastor, I've learned to say this. When a baby is born, he says, I have a coined saying. Brother Crutcher, this is a classic. He said, I've got a saying. And I say this about when babies are born. I must say, that's a beautiful baby. He said, that way I'm not lying. Because I must say, that's a beautiful baby. I'm thinking, I never thought of that before. Can I tell you, with nothing else but truth, I must say, you don't have to sit down in the valley of dry bones.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.